The drugstore was filled with Valentine's Day decorations and chocolates, the last thing a woman wanted to see just after being left by her husband. Heart-shaped Mylar balloons and chalky conversation hearts mocked Lana as she chose cards for her kids. She knew they were too old for it. Saccharine photos of puppies holding stuffed velvet hearts in their mouths, cards from their mother on Valentine's Day. But it was a tradition. And with her present in turmoil and her future uncertain, tradition was comforting. Lana pored through the trite and sappy options, looking for something metaphor-free and Asperger's appropriate for her brother, Matt. Her old neighbor Dixie, mid-60s and tanned from her new residence on a golf course, rounded the corner, headed her way. Lana turned away without thinking about where to go, why she was hiding from her friend. It made no difference. Dixie spotted Lana as she pivoted away. "Lana, dear," Dixie trilled, beaming as she came up to Lana. "Hello, stranger," Lana said, beaming back to the best of her ability. She gave a friendly wave with the cards in her hand. Dixie was trim and well-preserved, tucked neatly into a dark green polo shirt and white tennis skirt. "Card for Graham?" Dixie asked. "I just love Valentine's Day, don't you?" Her hair was shorter, smoother, shinier than the pre-retirement version of herself. Now more silver blonde than the flat gray she used to sport. She looked amazing, like a blissed-out retiree. Lana looked like she'd decided to give up personal hygiene for Lent. Not that she was Catholic or knew anything about Lent. She looked exactly like a woman spending Valentine's Day alone after 19 years of having someone to celebrate it with. Like she'd been awake half the night feeling sorry for herself, then had slunk to a drugstore nowhere near her house to reduce the chance of running into neighbors or friends or coworkers in her disheveled state. A lot of good that had done. "Actually, they're for the kids. Graham..." Lana held up the tacky cards and felt-covered rose-shaped pens that she was also giving her children. The kind of pens they'd likely never use. She wanted to finish the sentence, allow the truth to roll out of her like the brown sludge dripping from the chocolate fountain for sale behind Dixie. But she couldn't do it. As if it weren't bad enough having her marriage end, there was the painful act of telling everyone. How many times did she have to say those words, suffer the stunned look on someone else's face, fight the urge to comfort them as if it was their tragedy to swallow? "How is Graham? Still working on that book?" Graham was not working on a book, and never had been. But it was a conversation starter he lobbed around at parties, his idea for a science fiction novel about a space colony that survives the destruction of the Earth. Lana gave a vague smile and a shrug. "He's keeping busy." "Dating," she was tempted to finish. "He's keeping busy dating a redhead." But Dixie meant well, and snarkiness wasn't going to fix the situation, so Lana let it go. "How's the new place?" Lana asked. "You look phenomenal."
"Oh, you're too sweet," Dixie said.
She touched her hair, a whiff of self-consciousness rising from the gesture.
"Is it too much?"
"Dixie, you look 20 years younger than you are. I can't even compete." Lana held up her arms to show off her oldest jeans, her faded powder blue sweatshirt from the kids' elementary school. They were now in high school.
"I can give you my hairdresser's card," Dixie said.
She snapped open her miniature beige calfskin purse and extracted a dark purple card. The front of the card read Janelle Monroe in tiny script, followed by a phone number. Nothing else. No address, not even a salon name. Was minimalism the newest marketing fad?
"Wonderful. Thanks," Lana said.
She dropped the card into her big mommy purse, the bottomless one she kept meaning to downsize from. "Please say hello to John for me."
"Oh, I'll do better than that," Dixie said. "We'll have you and Graham over for dinner."
Lana sighed. Really? There was no way around her humiliation. She just had to barrel straight on through it, over and over.
"I'm sorry, Dixie. I'm afraid that won't happen. The truth is, Graham moved out."
Dixie narrowed her pale blue eyes and touched her hair again.
"Why on earth would he do that?" she asked.
It wasn't at all the reaction Lana was expecting, and it struck her as equally tragic and hilarious.
Indeed. Why would he?
Dixie knew nothing of Graham's late nights working, Lana's loneliness, the arguments, the silences, the threats to leave one another. She knew Lana and Graham from dinner parties, where they were always on their best behavior.